From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Reign of Grace. In the earlier part of chapter 5, Paul pointed out that Adam's sin was imputed to the entire human race, bringing every person under the condemnation of God's law. Christ, as the federal head of his people, fulfilled the demands of the law and paid its penalty for them by his death on the cross. His righteousness is imputed to those who trust in him. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is providing scriptural proofs that grace now reigns for every believer. The first proof is the efficiency of God's plan, which is based upon covenant terms. The second proof is the sovereignty of God's purpose. All who are in Adam die, but all who are in Christ receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Then we see the certainty of the product. Because God has imputed Christ's righteousness to believers, they stand justified in God's sight as if they had done all that Christ has done. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 4 and verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? An instructive writer has made a mournful list of the honors which the blinded people of Israel awarded to their long-expected king. They gave him a procession of honor, in which Roman legionaries, Jewish priests, men and women took a part, he himself bearing his cross. This is the triumph which the world awards to him who comes to overthrow man's direst foes. Derisive shouts are his only acclamations, and cruel taunts his only paeans of praise. They presented him with the wine of honor. Instead of a golden cup of generous wine, they offered him the criminal's stupefying death draught, which he refused because he would preserve an uninjured taste, wherewith to taste of death. And afterwards, when he cried, I thirst, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall, thrust to his mouth upon a sponge. O wretched, detestable, in his hospitality to the king's son! He was provided with a guard of honor, who showed their esteem of him by gambling over his garments, which they had seized as their booty. Such was the bodyguard of the adored of heaven, a quaternion of brutal gamblers. A throne of honor was found for him upon the bloody tree. No easier place of rest would rebel men yield to their liege lord. The cross was, in fact, the full expression of the world's feeling towards him. There, they seemed to say, Thou Son of God, this is the matter in which God himself should be treated could we reach him. The title of honor was nominally King of the Jews, but that the blinded nation distinctly repudiated, and really called him King of Thieves by preferring Barabbas, and by placing Jesus in the place of highest shame between two thieves. His glory was thus in all things turned into shame by the sons of men, but it yet shall gladden the eyes of saints and angels, world without end. Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
There's a second proof that grace is reigning, and that is the sovereignty of its purpose. You notice the use of the word all in verse 18. As by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now what does the word all mean? Look at it carefully. And you'll find, and there's a lesson here, a good lesson. Don't ever be deceived by the mere sound of a word. Look at it carefully. And you'll find that all is governed by a connection, or better, it's governed by a union either with Adam or with Christ. That's the meaning. Paul's not teaching universalism. In the Word of God, you'll find that these universal terms are often employed restrictively, and the meaning is limited by the subject or the context. In other words, all means all spoken of in a particular context. Not all absolutely, or all without exception. I'll prove that to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You know something? The most of the world never heard of Caesar Augustus. And the most of the world certainly was not taxed. That was a taxation probably limited to the area around Syria. They all must be determined by the context. Matthew 3, verses 5 and 6. We read that, then went out to John the Baptist, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But I put it to you that not everybody in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the region around the Jordan were baptized by John. And how do I know that? Because in John 3:26, somewhat later, John's disciples said of Christ, he's baptizing, and all men are coming to him. But why would they be coming to him if they'd already come to John and had already been baptized? In other words, all is not used without restriction. It's used of all in a particular context. We could give multiplied proofs, and that's what we have here. And especially when the word all is limited by a condition. Obviously, it doesn't mean all without exception. It means all who fulfill that description or that condition. For example, Acts 13:39, all that believe are justified. Contrast that with Mark 16:16, he that believeth not shall be damned. And you will see immediately that in Romans chapter 5, the context is saying, in union with Adam, all are condemned. In union with Christ, all are justified. Who are the all? They're the all who are in union with Christ. And I can prove that from what Paul said to the Corinthians, very simply. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23, he says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Who are the all that live in Christ? They that are Christ's that is coming. The whole discussion is the resurrection of saints, not the resurrection of everybody, the resurrection of saints. That's the whole discussion here. Who are the all? They are those who are in Christ. They that are Christ. That's the meaning in Romans 5:18. Now, I've gone to all this trouble to tell you that this reflects the sovereignty of God's purpose in his grace to justification. Paul is going to work this out much more fully in chapter 8, in a glorious passage there. But for the moment, what he's saying is, in the sovereignty of his grace, all whom God unites to Christ by faith are now justified, and they shall be justified for all eternity. All whom God brings to faith in Christ shall be justified. Grace reigns, and its purpose is unconquerable. This purpose of God in reaching the all given to Christ in the covenant of grace, united to Christ by personal faith, to bring this all with a certainty to heaven and to glory forever. You know, one of the great things that the devil torments God's people with is, I can remember times as a young man battling this, well, maybe you know you'll not make it. Maybe you'll be among those to whom Jesus will say, or of whom he said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, 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 and this? And I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And I have to tell you that the greatest tragedy that could ever befall a man or a woman is to go through life with the presumption that they're going to heaven only on that day to hear Christ say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But I want you to notice something. Those people in Matthew 7 were not believers in the justifying merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when they're faced with why they should be in heaven, they're saying, "Lord, look at us. We have preached, we have done this, we have done that, we have done the other thing." And I want to tell you, if you're going out to meet God and you're saying, "Lord, look at what I have done for you," you're not saved. I'm being very blunt with you. You can't be saved on the basis of going out to God to tell Him what you've done for Him. But the devil uses that portion very often to confuse sincere believers, get their eyes off the justifying merits of Christ. I want you to understand this. In the sovereign grace of God, when He brings you to a belief, a personal faith and trust in the merits of Jesus Christ, He guarantees that grace will conquer and grace will reign. That's our security. The third thing that proves that grace reigns, and I will be very brief with this, for time is gone, is the certainty of its product. At the end of verse 18 and the end of verse 19, you'll find that it produces justification unto life. And then it produces this righteousness into which we're constituted. It's constitution into righteousness. Now, watch it carefully. Justification of life. That is a verdict of justification which results in life. Do you understand what he's saying? The product of the imputed righteousness of Christ, the product of Christ earning God's declaration to him, "You are the righteous one." The product of Christ's merit is for us a verdict which results in life. There is a chain here that is totally unbreakable. Christ has acted. God has justified him. God then imputes the merits of Christ to his believing people, and the result is they are justified, and the justified live forever. That's the chain. And there's no break in it. They say that a chain is never stronger than its weakest link. And that's true. But when you look at a chain of grace, and God gives us various places in Scripture where He lets you see some of the links in the chain of grace. And the glorious thing about them is there's not a weak link in it. There's no place where this can be broken. This is the certainty of the product. Life eternal. Because justification must issue in life. Paul takes this up in Romans 8. Again, whom he justified, them he glorified. There can be no slip betwixt cup and lip. The other product is you're constituted righteous. You're invested with the merits of Christ so that you stand before God. Some people say, "Just as if I'd never sinned." Well, that's good, isn't it? I tell you, it's a whole lot better than that. It's a whole lot better than that. It's not just as if I'd never sinned, but it's just as if I had personally done every righteous act of Christ. It's just as if I had personally earned what Jesus earned, because everything that he deserved comes down to me. to use Paul's words, it's upon us. Did you notice in verse 18 when we were reading it, Paul wrote Greek in a way that you would hope that I wouldn't write or speak English. He just got so carried away with the passion of what he's saying. He left out words that to us seem so essential. Do you notice the words judgment came are italicized? Paul didn't write them. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be there. I think they give us the sense of saying Paul just didn't write them. The free gift came italicized. Paul didn't write them. Paul is saying, through the offense of one upon all men to condemnation, even so through the justification of one upon all men unto justification of life. What he's saying is this, it's a glorious thing. When God constitutes you righteous, he puts you in union with Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, it's not just as if you'd never sinned. It's that, but it's a whole lot more than that. It's as if you had done all that Christ did to satisfy me and my law. It's as if you personally had earned that sentence. Righteous, acceptable in the sight of God. Man, it's good to be saved. Wonderful to be justified. Can I tell you, this is one reason why our pulpits are so silent on the doctrine of justification. The devil doesn't care about the fiddling little sermons that are being preached, the little touchy-feeling sermons that go on week after week after week after week and never mention any of the great truths of the justifying merits of Christ. He's got preachers blinded. People don't want doctrine. Well, if they don't get the doctrine of the gospel, they'll be damned. For it's the truth that sets men free. People don't want to think. Well, if they don't want to think, you can't be saved without thinking. It's not an unthinking response to the gospel. Faith. You're commanded again and again. Think, think, reckon, consider. These are the commands of the Word of God. But I tell you, when you get in to start to think about what it is that God has produced, a justified people, a people who have a verdict passed upon them, the sentence passed upon them, that issues in life, they're so constituted in the sight of God that they stand in a state of perfect righteousness. Just as if they personally had earned what Jesus earned. It's as truly theirs as if they had done it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.